Acts 1, 8, 1 through 25. And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from home to house. He dragged off holy men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to the city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to him, to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed, and there was a great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered him, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive of sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." After that, they had further proclaimed the word of the Lord and testified that Jesus, Peter, and John, and testified about Peter, Jesus. Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Let me pray. Our Father God, we thank you so much for your word, Lord. We thank you for your wisdom and for what you have given us here on earth in this sinful world, Lord. We thank you so much for your Son who paid our price and died for us on the cross, Lord, that we might have salvation and might live with you forever, Lord. We thank you for that so much, Lord. Lord, right now I ask that your Holy Spirit be here to dwell in each of us, Lord, to convict each of us as you would have us convicted, Lord. Lord, that it would be your lips that speak and your ears that hear, Lord, that this whole thing is about you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. It was interesting when I was looking at the bulletin and the music and stuff, and Miss Jean, she puts these things in here, right? These little tidbits. And I found it interesting. This first one was written by William Law. It says, "Would you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It is not he who prays most or fasts most. It is not he who gives most or is most prominent for patience, purity, or justice, but it is he who is always thankful to God, who wills everything that God wills, who receives everything as an instant of God's goodness and has a heart always ready to praise God for it. And that was written by William Law. And then Alan Redpath wrote this: before we can pray, "Lord, thy kingdom come," we must be willing to pray, "My kingdom go." And it's kind of interesting because the message today kind of parallels that. And I want to talk about the very first, many of you may not know who Saul was, but the first verse in Acts 8 says, "And Saul approved of their killing him." What they're talking about there is Stephen. Stephen was the first Christian martyr. And he was killed, and Saul was there watching it done, being done. And on that day, I'm going to read it, little sections, and I'm going to talk about it. "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from home to home, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison." The church, this is the early church. This is the beginning of the church. This is after Christ had been crucified and the Holy Spirit, the apostles, they gathered and they began to teach. And the Jewish hierarchy, they didn't like this, that people were following the way. That's what they called it then, the way. And so Saul, and I'm going to talk about Saul next Sunday. All right, so if you want to know more about him, come. But Saul was actually many times killing Christians and putting them in prison. And the church was persecuted. And the church today, I wanted to talk about this because the church today is persecuted too. And that's the first note. Today's persecution is more subtle. We must not, that's the blank, the subtle. We must not let it drive us from our work as disciples of Jesus. And I want to talk about, I've been here in California, the governor, he is making the schools teach gay and lesbian and transsexual history. He's forcing it. You see, and when we come against that as a church, because that kind of sexual behavior is an abomination to God, it says so in the Bible, then, you know, we are called intolerant. We're called all kinds of things, right? We are a persecuted church here in the United States. When you listen to our culture and you listen to our government, all the other faiths are acceptable. I mean, we make room in colleges and schools for the Muslims to pray or to go wash or to do things. We make exceptions for them. But we can't say God in church. We can't pray, in school. We can't pray. We can't do anything in church. So the persecution is not like it was back then. They're not running around killing us, but they are in the Muslim countries and other countries. Christians are persecuted like that, put in prison, put in jail. So, but even as that takes place, we have to take a lesson from our brothers in the early church. And just because we're persecuted, it should not make us shut up. We should still speak out against those things. And the reason we should is because we have God and we have the truth behind us. And we should take our strength to fight that persecution with the Lord Jesus, okay? So now, I'm going to move on here. Verse 4, it says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the signs he performed, they all paid close attention to what he said. For with shrieks, impure spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was a great joy in that city." So what I'm saying in number two there, it says, we must keep sharing the gospel of Jesus no matter what our circumstances. no matter what our circumstances. The apostles, they were driven out by this persecution. But where they went, they continued to preach the gospel. And we're supposed to do that. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. I got to find one of my notes here. It says, I looked this up, it says, wherever the established believer is driven, he carries the knowledge of the gospel and makes known the preciousness of Christ in every place. And that's what we're supposed to do. So when you're in the schools, kids, and somebody's persecuting the church, you stand up for the church. You have to be bold. We can't submit to the world. And I'm going to get into that a little deeper here. But we have to do that. And we're called to do that. We're called to be disciples of the Lord. We're called to do it with His strength and to speak boldly. And to speak boldly. And sometimes it's not easy to speak boldly, is it? No. You know, I think in terms of you know, you all work somewhere and you all have family and such, and you've all been in a group where someone's talking negative. Oh, I'll use the Veterans Hospital as an example. I go to the VA hospital, and I sit there, and I hear the veterans complain. Oh, I got to hurry up and wait. Oh, this and all that, and it takes so long. And then I hear other veterans jumping in and going, yeah, why should it take so long to do that? And they're going on and on and on. And people get caught up in that. They get caught up in the negativity. And it's easy to lead people with negativity. And then I jump in and I say, well, you know what? I've had great luck here. And it's been good. I haven't had any problems at all. I mean, yeah, sometimes it takes a little longer than normal, but generally speaking, I get in and out when they say. And then all of a sudden, somebody will say, well, yeah, you know, I guess it isn't too bad. You know, we have to speak out boldly. Now, that's an example of the Veterans Hospital and veterans and military people. They're just prone to complain, you know. So, but negativity, it's easy to get caught up in it. It's easy for us to want to be tolerant. And that's what the world tells us, right? That's what they say. Well, you got to be tolerant of the Muslims. You got to be tolerant of this. You got to be tolerant of that. Well, I'm here to tell you the only reason people are tolerant is because it makes them feel good. It has nothing to do with what they're being tolerant about. It really doesn't when you think about it. And I was talking to Dennis last night. I said, you know, if we saw someone that said, hey, you know what, I can fly, so I'm going to jump off this cliff. Would we go, hey, all right, well, I'll be tolerant of that. Sure, I mean, maybe he can fly, so let me watch. It's the same way with our faith. We watch people fall for eternity because we're not bold and we don't speak with the strength of Jesus. We speak with our own strength. And I want to talk about that a little more. I'm going to move on to verse 9 here. Now for some time, a man named Simon, and I'm going to dwell quite a bit on Simon and the world today. Now for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, people, the powerful people and the lower people, they gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. Now I'm going to move into something here that's a little heavy, all right, but it's true. And you know, there are two powers in this world. There's God and there's the devil. There's two. And we have to, if we recognize Christ and we recognize God and the power that he has, we also have to recognize the other guy. We don't have to give him any authority. We don't have to give him any power. But we have to know he's there. And we give him power, though. We give him power many times because we go his way. We don't resist. We don't continue preaching the gospel. We submit to the people that are bad-mouthing the Christian faith. We want to become tolerant of the other things. And in that, I submit to you that we're submitting to the devil. We're submitting to what he wants. Now, I want to read for you, out of Luke. And it's Luke, this is when Christ was tempted, okay? When Christ came to, you know, when he started his ministry, he was tempted. He was taken by the devil, and he was tempted in three different areas. And I want to speak of just this one. It's in Luke chapter 4, verse 5. It says, the devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me. This is his world that we're living in. That's the point I want to make. It is his world. And I can give it to anyone I want, the devil says. He can give it to anybody he wants. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. That's kind of what the devil does today. And that's what he was doing to Simon. Sorcery doesn't come from God. And it says here, it says, he boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. You see, we live in this world. We live in this culture. And in Romans, I'm going to talk about Romans 12 too. It says, do not conform to the ways of the world. That means do not conform to the ways of the devil. Do not conform to the ways of the enemy. Conform to God. It says, do not conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's why this study is so important. Because your mind can't be renewed if you don't study. Now, I want to ask you all, how many of you know who Calvin Brodus is? Anybody? Nobody? You know? Aaron? Who is it? Huh? Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg. Good job. Okay. You may laugh, but you should be praying for him. Because let me tell you, I got a little part out of his autobiography. In his autobiography, the Dog Father, that's the name of his autobiography, Snoop Dogg says, the devil came to him to make a deal that he would be rich and famous in exchange for his soul. Snoop Dogg accepted the devil's offer by his own words and identified that the point at which Calvin Brodus dies, Snoop Dogg was born. That's conforming to the ways of the world. That is absolutely conforming to the devil. Now, you see, the devil, he will take things that Christ used, that are scriptural, and he'll switch them around, and he'll use them up. Did you notice it says, and that, and identifies that the point at which Calvin Brodus died, Snoop Dogg was born. When we become Christians, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are supposed to die to ourselves, and we're born again in Christ, right? See, the devil uses the same things. The world. I mean, Snoop Dogg is famous, right? I mean, he's got, you know, and Simon, he liked all that power too. And his power here on the earth. His power here. And the problem is in our society, we follow those people. We look at those people and we put them up on a pedestal. Movie stars. Young movie stars, these young kids. I mean, they portray the things of the world, and we follow them. Even as Christians, we follow them. And I submit to you, you need to be careful. You need to be careful who you're following, because they're leading you down the wrong path. Christ is the way to follow. He is the one. I'm going to go one more. I'm going to read some lyrics that Tupac. Okay, see, I don't even know how to say his name. Tupac. These are lyrics in one of his song, Good Life. Right? Good Life. Now think of that, how it's twisted. How it's twisted. Tupac says he sold his soul to the devil. These are some of the lyrics. And the lyrics go like this, and I'm going to have to bleep some of them out. I sold my soul for a chance to kick it and bang. Now tell if I'm wrong. But saying the word got you deeper in my songs. Drink until I earl. Spending money till it's gone. It's the good life. Maybe, I can't say the word, got it going on. Why I should change into a softie after living so lofty. It cost me my soul out of control in a devil's world. The only thing he got right is it's the devil's world. And we're living in it. And these people, you know, I was reading about this and the heavy metal. You remember when the heavy metal came out,
yeah.
The headbanging, and this guy I was reading about, he's saying it wasn't a way to, you know, you could get, you know, like some of the white supremacists and such, but there was a certain segment, primarily the African American segment, that they weren't getting into that music. And so the rap came. It's evil. It's evil. I'm just telling you that. The way of the world is not the way that we should go. And Simon was doing that. Simon was doing sorcery. He was doing all kinds of things. And he had a following. Because he had money and he had power. And we need to be careful and not look at the people with money and power. We need to look at what God says, because he's the one with the real power.
Amen.
And we need to call upon it to get it. You see, let me find my notes here again. Yes, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the ways of the world, patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So what we're saying there, what God is saying is that do not conform to the ways of the world. Don't pay attention to the movie stars. Don't pay attention to the gossip. You know, like the lady that just got tried in Florida for killing her baby and she got off. I mean, what a soap opera. And we're following it. We're wasting our time watching it. It did nothing. Nothing to edify God. All it did is corrupt our minds and want us to have vengeance. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know if she killed her daughter or not. I don't know what the circumstances are, but I can guarantee you that Christ will have his vengeance. He will be the one to judge. Not us. But we get caught up in that gossip. We get caught up in that. And it's sad because we're Christians and we need to pay attention to God. If anything, we should have been praying for her. We can't get caught up. Verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, and he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Well, listen, Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. I'm going to get back into that in a minute here. But when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now listen to what Simon says. Listen. He says, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of hands of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. You see, Simon came to the Lord Jesus, but he came for the wrong reasons. He was looking to gain more power. He was looking to gain more notoriety. He was looking not for the Lord, but for himself. I wrote here, Simon is looking for power, and his money gave him status and power, and he wanted more power. You see, when we have a lot of money, we think that gives us power. And in some instances, it does. And people are greedy and selfish, and they want more. And you watch the people in the culture today that we follow, the people I've been talking about, Tupac and Snoop Dogg and Siley Myers or whatever they are, whoever they are. We follow them, and we listen to them, and we get all caught up in it. And it's all gossip. My aunt, my mom, they buy those Inquirers, and I think, oh, my word, why do you even look at that stuff? And I ask that because it doesn't edify God. It doesn't glorify Christ. It doesn't solidify our religion, our faith. It makes our faith weak. It makes us as Christians weak when we follow all that stuff. Let me see. Oh, here we go. I thought this was an interesting statement. It says, pride, ambition, and desire after grandeur have always caused abundance of mischief, both in the world and to the church. Listen to that. Pride, ambition, and desires after grandeur. Doesn't that describe the culture that we look at today? The TV programs we watch, the movie stars, the actors, the singers, the politicians, the people that we look up to in this world. And they don't glorify God. They don't edify God. All they do is glorify themselves and edify themselves. And in our culture, we can't be following them. We can't be doing that. Now, the people who were following Simon, many of them changed and quit following him. But they followed him nevertheless. The other thing that we have to be careful of are false teachers and false preachers. And there are many of them among us in the Christian world, in the Christian faith. And they take Scripture and they twist it around and they make it work. And people come to their churches and they feel good. And they tell them about feeling good, about you don't have to do anything. You know, give this much money and you're going to get this much more money and do this and you're going to be healed. And you're going to be... It's nothing to do with Christ. It's nothing to do with salvation. That's a different thing. Now, does God reward us and does God give us blessings? Does he heal people? Does he, you know, provide? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He does. But why do you come to church? Is that why you come to church? I mean, Joel Osteen, I mentioned this on Wednesday. Joel Osteen, he's got a congregation, I don't know, 30,000 people. But if you read any of his stuff, and that's why it's important to study. That's why it's important. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the only way you can be transformed is to study. And Joel Osteen, he takes the word and he twists it around. And he puts some pop psychology into it to make people feel good. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, being a Christian is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And I don't always feel good. But I feel good because I know that I have salvation. I know that one day I'm going to leave this world and I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's more important than all the other stuff. It's more important. Number 3 there on your notes, it says, we need to be careful of false teachers who worship the Lord, not for what they can do for the Lord, but what they can get for themselves. And I put a little note there, one reason to study, so that you can recognize that, so that you can identify when you hear the guy on TV, you can identify and understand that, oh, hey, he's not teaching the right thing. I read that scripture and I didn't get that out of that. God doesn't say he's always going to be good. God doesn't always give you what you want. And why is that? Because God knows that it's not always necessarily the right thing for you. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he'll give you anything you want if you sell yourself to him. If you're willing to do that. And I'm here to tell you, if you're conforming to the ways of the world, that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing. That's tough, huh? See, you may not hear that at one of these other churches from a pastor that's looking at wanting to get identity, wanting to have power, wanting to have a lot of money. It amazes me when I see these big churches and the pastor's making millions of dollars and he's got people coming to the church that are starving to death. I question their motive. Now, you'll never hear that about Pastor Bob. He's not interested in money at this church. He's interested in bringing the word of Jesus Christ to the people that come to this church so that their lives can be changed and transformed, not for the world, but for Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's important. And that hurts sometimes. And it's painful sometimes. And it's challenging. Many of you have heard me say that God is never, ever going to move you into some place you're comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, you're not changing. He's got to move you into some place you're not comfortable. And he does that so that you learn to trust him. So that you learn to count upon him. And when you get into that zone and it's like, oh, I don't want to do this. And he goes, okay, but do it anyhow. And you do it and then you're comfortable with it. And then he goes, okay, now I want you to come over here. And I'm going to make you uncomfortable again. Because I want to teach you. Because I want to teach you. I want you to learn to trust me, not the world. Not the world. He wants us to follow him. Peter answered Simon when Simon offered him money. Right? Thought he could buy God's power. Peter said this, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." That's the world that we live in right there. Bitterness and sin. Bitterness and sin. Just go out in the street and look how people behave with people. Look how irritated they get because somebody walks out in front of you instead of letting you drive after the stop sign. Or somebody pulls in front of you, or you're at the grocery store and the line's not moving fast enough. Listen to the people. Last night, Dennis and I stopped at Bravo's. He had to go to Bravo's, his favorite place, or not his wife's favorite place in San Diego. And I was sitting in the car waiting for him, and there was a young couple there, and I was talking to him, and about every third word was the F word. And Dennis came out and he said, "You know that guy?" I said, "No." He said, "What, is he a Christian?" I said, "No." Not the way he was talking. You know, but, you know, the world is there. And it's a sinful world. And we can't follow it in the church. We can't follow people like Simon. We can't follow people like Tupac or Snoop Dogg or some of the others that you guys know, because I don't know a lot of them, because I pay no attention to them. The reality shows you see on TV. Jerry Springer started it. People bring their garbage to have it publicly put out there. And we, and the reason it's popular is because we watch it. And I would say that there are as many people in the church that watch it as there are that aren't in the church that watch it. And I'm here to tell you that it perverts your mind. Because sometimes we look at other people's problems. And if I'm looking at somebody else's problem, I don't have to face my own. And mine don't look so bad. And then I don't need to go to God and say, God, help me with this. Because all these other people are really bad. When I was a drunk and using drugs, I could always find someone that was a worse drunk or a worse drug user than me to justify my behavior. And that's what the world does. All this stuff gets out there, and we watch it, and we think, oh, hey, I'm pretty good. I go to church, you know? I mean, I don't do much else. I mean, I don't read my Bible during the week, and I don't pray during the week, and I use bad language during the week and stuff, but, you know, I go to church. Well, whoopee-doo. God wants us more than just to go to church. So number four there is God's gift of salvation is free. Did you hear that? It's free. Nothing can purchase it other than the blood of Jesus. So all your sins, you can't buy yourself out of that. You can't earn enough money. You can't have enough power in this world to buy your salvation. And we make it so complicated so many times in our world. We, you know, God gave us a simple way to come to Him. And we make it all complicated. And we fight in the church and we do things. And it's like, oh, you gotta, this has got to happen and that's got to happen and that and this and that. And the Bible says, if you accept my Son, and the price he paid on the cross for your sins, and you accept the fact that he died for your sins, you're saved. Now, there's a whole lot of things, other things that happen after that. But we get it all messed up. We make it all too complicated, and we want to buy it. Roki had tithes and offerings today, and I know people that give big bucks to churches. But that's it. My brother-in-law and my sister, I tried to talk to them about the Lord, and they said, well, David, we're good people. We give money to people that don't have it, and we go out and volunteer and do things. So, I mean, we're good people. Yeah, I think I'm going to get to heaven. Well, what about Jesus? Well, you know, I have my own relationship. I don't really need the church because I'm a good person. See, that's a trick of the world. It's a trick of the world. It's a trick of the devil. You can have your own relationship with God. You don't need to study His Word. You don't need to do any of that. Just make a lot of money and have a lot of power and influence people and bring them down to hell with you. Because that's what our society does, and particularly to our young people. And we need to start praying for our young people. They're the future of this church. We need to do that. Then Simon answered, because Peter scared him, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Now, I don't know if Simon all of a sudden realized that he didn't have the ability to pray to God. Because I don't know if he really all of a sudden realized that he was a big sinner. I don't even know if he understood that he was a sinner. But he asked Simon to pray. I mean, he asked Peter to pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. Now, I'm here to tell you that Peter could pray as much as he wanted to, but if Simon didn't change his heart, he had no chance. I can pray for you all you want me to, but if God doesn't change your heart, if you don't allow God into your heart to change your heart, it ain't going to do you any good. It's here. It's in the heart. The gospel preached, listen to this, the gospel preached may have a common operation upon the soul where it never produced inward holiness. All are not savingly converted who profess to believe this gospel. Powerful statement, isn't it? There are people out there that can talk the talk. They can. I've met guys that probably know the Bible better than I do, but I question their heart. It says, this guy wrote, all are not savingly converted who profess to believe the gospel. Now Simon, he heard the gospel and he accepted it, and he got baptized. But he didn't do it because he had a contrite heart. He did it because he found another way that could give him more power and give him more money and make him even more important in the community. Question five there is, what is your motive for following Jesus? You have to answer that. You have to answer that. And I'm going to talk about the title of the sermon because I had a different title than Why Do I Follow? And somewhere along the line, God slapped me upside the head and said, nope, David, that old one ain't going to work. You need to change this. Because we need to understand why we follow Jesus. I follow him because he's the truth and the way. And he said in his word that I am the only way to the Father. All those other ways that you hear about out there, all those other ways, all those other religions, the Muslims, those are religions of the devil. That's not very tolerant, huh? But I believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God, and I believe that it is true. And if I believe that, then I have to understand that when I'm talking to a Muslim or when I'm talking to a Buddhist or I'm talking to someone else, I need to be able to say, look, here it is. This is the truth. And it's faith. And it's faith. So you need to ask yourself, why do I follow? And that was the title of the sermon, by the way. I forgot to mention that. But I want you to, I don't know, what time am I? I can't see what time it is.
25.
Oh, 11, that's it?
Yeah.
Man, I keep going. Yeah. Well, listen, I am going to keep going. But I ran out of notes. No. I always preach from the heart. But today's world and today's culture, and I believe that's part of what this passage is about we look at the world and we put our blinders on. And we don't put our blinders on to the world, we put our blinders on to God's word. And it's like, well, I want to do this or I want to do that. Now, there are a lot of different things, and I'm going to talk just a little bit more here because I have the time. The one thing that I think that the culture in this world today that we all follow, that we all look at, and has to do with sex. Everything is geared to sexuality. I mentioned the other day, you know, it's like you watch the car ad, and I'm bald and I'm old and wrinkly, and if I buy this certain car, I can get the young, good-looking babe. See? And if I drink that kind of beer or that Pepsi or that Coke, you know, it's going to squirt and I'm gonna get the good-looking babe no matter what. And it is all sexualized. And I'm gonna jump into this just a little bit because sin to God is sin. Sexual sin is the worst sin. It's not the unforgivable sin. The only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that's for a whole other sermon. But, you know, the sexual sin, it doesn't just affect you, because you are Christians. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have Christ's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Amen. So your body is the temple of Jesus Christ. It's a temple of God. So when we have sex outside of marriage, then we are bringing that person and we are defiling God's temple. And the society and the culture today, that's what they push. And that's what they promote. And it is, you know, marriage is, the problem here with today's culture is, you know, the divorce rate in the church is the same as it is outside the church. And that's because we're a throwaway society. We're a society that says, well, if it's not feeling good anymore, then throw it away and get something new. And I've found that something new you get gets old again. And you want to throw that away too. We are a throwaway society. We are not a disciplined group of people. If it feels good, then I want to do it. And that's the way of the world. And that's why Snoop Dogg and Tupac sold their souls to the devil. Because they wanted the instant gratification. They wanted what was fun now. I don't want to wait. I want it now. And you see, God doesn't do things like that. God takes his time with it. He develops us. He changes us. And he changes us a little at a time. And that fleshy nature that we have is still there. And we still, and that's why we're drawn to the stupid things on TV. That's where we're drawn to the music. I mean, you know, the rap music, man, the beat is great. It is. Even I can keep up with it because it's so pronounced. Kaboom, kaboom, right? See? Yeah. No, not dance, clap. But so anyhow, what you need to ask yourself, and I'm going to close here, but you need to ask yourself, why do I follow? Why do I come to this church? Why do I come here to hear about Jesus Christ? Why do I do that? Do I do it because I want to impress somebody? Do I do it for the food? Do I do it for the power? Do I do it just because I want to feel good? Do I do it because my mom thinks it's cool? Now, we all come to the Lord Jesus for our own reason. And most of us came to the Lord Jesus because we had a need for something. Because we had a need. We were hurting and we were down and we were getting beat up and we had a need and we had no other way out. And so we came to Jesus. And Jesus says, good, come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me. I'm knocking. Come to me with your pains and such. But there has to come a point in your walk with the Lord where you're not walking with the Lord for what you can get from him, but what you can give to him, what you can give back. And you can do that in many, many different ways. You can do that by being a disciple and speaking boldly when you're out there in the culture and they're trying to change your mind about something. And they're telling you, you need to be tolerant of all these things. You need to be tolerant of the gays. You need to be tolerant of the drunks. You need to be tolerant of all the other religions. You need to be tolerant. You need to be tolerant. You need to be tolerant. And at the same time, they're saying, but we're not going to be tolerant of you. You need to ask yourself why you come to church, why you follow Jesus. Are you like Simon? You're looking for more power? You're looking for more wealth? Are you coming because he is the way to God? Because you recognize the fact that you are a sinner. That you are not worthy to be with God. The only thing we're worthy of is to be with the devil. And the only reason we aren't is because Christ died and he covers us with his blood. The Father can look upon us because we're covered with Jesus' blood. Otherwise, he couldn't look on us because we have that sinful nature, 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 that sinful nature.